Open your Bibles, please, to Esther chapter 4. Esther chapter 4. The thing I like about this book, Esther, it's a cross-cultural, intercultural leadership book. So follow with me, if you would. Esther chapter 4. When Mordecai learned all that had happened, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, and went into the midst of the city, and he cried out with a loud and bitter cry. That would have been his culture, the way he would do things. Sometimes the way we do things makes other people uncomfortable. Hey, be you. Just be you. If you've been wondering what you should be you. Because you're fearfully and wonderfully made. So in this moment, all he is him. It says he went as far as the front of the king's gate. That was as far as he could go. As far as he was allowed to go. For no one might enter the king's gate sad. There's a lot in this passage. No one can enter the king's gate in sackcloth and mourning. And in every province where the king's command and decree arrived, that is, the decree to wipe out a people group, there was great mourning among the Jews, fasting and weeping and wailing. And many lay in sackcloth and ashes. So Esther, that's not her real name. That's just the name she gives us to use. You know anybody like that? Listen, if you room with somebody who's got another real name and they say, just call me Joe, find out what their real name is, will you? That's not a real name. That's her undercover name. Sometimes when you're in a cross-cultural situation, you need to learn how to lie low. So that's what she's doing. She's just chilling as instructed by Uncle Mordecai. I mean, she's in a good place, no doubt, for a bad reason. The king had a beautiful wife, throws an incredible party. In the middle of the party, he gets crazy drunk, says, yo, bring my woman here so we can all look at her. By the way, if you're not sure because you're watching too much television how to treat women, that's not it. He says, bring my woman here, and all the women. And the women say, we ain't coming. No. You crazy? We're not going down there. Crazy men. So, amen. That guys, go find that girl, because she's got some wisdom there. So, the men get afraid. You got to read the rest of the story here, just giving you the backdrop. The men get afraid. They say, look, if you don't do something, all of us are in trouble because all of our women are going to find out that they got brains too, and then we'll all be in trouble. So he makes this crazy decision to do one of the saddest things in the Bible, divorce. And he puts her away. Now he's sad for real, for real. And people are like, what are you going to do? And somebody says, well, let's go find the king a wife. So they put on a beauty pageant to find the most beautiful woman in the kingdom. And Esther is what they come up with. So maybe you've been somebody who people have focused on the outside rather than the inside of you for any number of reasons. It ain't always bad. Sometimes it's for what they think is a good reason. But they don't realize she's more than just her looks. So if God's blessed you with great engineering skill, yeah. You're more than just the engineering skill. If you've been blessed with some great athletic skill, See, so already, watch what happens. Already you get scared because you're like, man, I don't want him to say something to me, so I'm like, I better just not answer. I told you, be you. If you've been blessed with whatever, just know you are more than that. You're more than that. We're in a country that's struggling right now to figure out what we do about this. I promise you, you are more than the skin and the color and shade of your skin. Do something with what God has given you. Be you all the way. And now she's in this position. And so verse 4, she forgets who she is. Listen. So Esther's maids and eunuchs came and told the queen, your uncle is gone mad crazy. He's down at the gate embarrassing everybody. How do you know they said that? Because watch what happens. The queen was deeply distressed. So she said, A, let me go down and find out for myself what's going on. B, let me figure out how we're going to help my uncle. No, C, she says, quick, send some clothes down there, some garments, so that he can get rid of his sackcloth and ashes. But he said, no, get off of me. Have you ever been with one of those parents, one of those people? My mother's like this. You know, we came to my daughter, our oldest daughter's graduation, and they had the audacity before the graduation here at Cedarville University to say, now listen, folks, there are more than just your child graduating, so don't cheer. That's all my mother needs to hear. I can hear her in her seat. My baby is going to get graduate. So now I'm getting scared. I'm like, wow, this is going to be the most embarrassing moment. My mother says, I'm a grandmother. He's talking to y'all. I can cheer if I want. But I'm thankful to say that my mother pulled it in, found herself another grandmother, and they silently cheered all the way through the graduation. Sometimes you have someone who is embarrassing you because of their culture or because of what they're going through. And insensitively, without sensitivity, we tell them, stop that. Stop that. I think I'm going to go there. Please don't send me any hate mail. I don't know a thing about football. I don't even remember the guy's name who did it. But I'm thinking, if a guy chooses to protest by kneeling down, see, I know you're going to do that to me. Don't do that to me now. Don't get quiet, because we're talking. If a guy chooses to do that, isn't that a lot better than burning down a building? I'm thinking to myself, we got to do something here. Maybe if, you know, I'm just thinking, we can't yell at everything, guys. We can't have a comment about everything. And look, your comments on Facebook do not change the world. We just want to tell people, stop it. That's just a natural action when we don't understand what's going on. Or when someone's doing something that makes us uncomfortable. Our first knee-jerk reaction is just, tell them to stop. Look, Esther tells Mordecai, drops off some good-looking clothes for him, probably the right size, better than he had. He says, nah, I ain't taking that. Esther called Hattash, love this, watch it, one of the king's eunuchs, whom he had appointed to her, and gave him a command concerning Mordecai to learn. Say the word learn. Learn. Look at the person next to you, say the word learn. Learn. Now open your mouth and say it, because some of you don't think I can see real good with my glasses on. So say the word learn.
Learn.
Good. Maybe some of us have just got to become Hattash. And when something's going crazy that we don't understand, somebody's got to be willing to go and learn. Today, we leave to go on a journey of learning with 34 people. Some of them are Cedarville University students. Some of them are members at Southgate Baptist Church in Springfield, Ohio. Some are members from First Baptist Church in London, Ohio. And you should just know that we're going on a learning expedition. Because there's stuff we don't know. I'm always amazed when I go places to learn with people. If you listen, sometimes you'll hear somebody tell you the truth, like, man, I've been in school my whole life. Never heard that before. Didn't know that. Had an opinion, have a strong opinion about it. but didn't know that. Sometimes we just got to be okay to learn. Esther says to Hathach, go and learn what's going on. And so he went to learn why and what it was. So verse 6, so Hathach went out to Mordecai in the city square that was in front of the king's gate. Mordecai told all that had happened to him, the sum of money that Haman had promised to pay for the king's treasury to destroy Jews. Pause for a minute. Money is always involved in political activity. Just saying. So he gave a copy of the written decree for their destruction, which was given at Shushan, that he might show it to Esther and explain to her, and that he might command her to go to the king and to make supplication and to plead with him for her people. Hathach returned and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Verse 10, then Esther spoke to Hathach and gave him a command for Mordecai. Now, this is out of control. Look, she is the niece. He's the uncle. Now, she is giving him a command. You know what? She forgot who she was. Got up there in that palace, figured, I'm all set. Let me tell my uncle. Obviously, uncle don't know what's going on. So we have to straighten him out a little bit. Verse 11. All the king's servants, uncle, and the people of the king's province, uncle, know, obviously you didn't, but everybody else knows, that any man or woman who goes into the inner court of the king who has not been called has but one law, put all to death. Except for the one whom the king holds out his golden scepter that he may live. Yet, I have not been called to the king. Pause, pause, pause. I, the most beautiful woman in the kingdom. Pause, pause, pause. I, the woman who was sent right here to make the king smile. The king hasn't had time for me in 30 days. This is a sick man. You guys don't see it? I'm looking at it, guys. 30 days? She hasn't seen him. She hasn't been called into his presence in 30 days. That would be dangerous for her to go to see him now. It really would. So Mordecai told Esther these words. Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace more than any of the other Jews. Can we just apply this to ourselves for just a moment? Look, he says it so beautifully. He says, look, don't think in your heart you will escape in the king's palace more than any of the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise from some other source. We've been watching this all across the world. If you study history, you can get it. Listen, when people are in trouble and nobody responds, usually there's an opportunity, there's a moment when you and I could say, yes, we will respond. And somebody else responds. And you know what? We have no idea who the somebody else is. We don't know what gender they are or what mixed gender they might be. I'm going to go there, guys. Come on. Look, there's a thing happening in our world. When Christians don't respond, somebody ought to respond. So somebody will respond. Then we wonder, oh my word, oh my goodness, those guys, the QBC, MT, FG, FK guys. Then when they respond, then we go, oh, well, now, you know, I can't have nothing to do with that because those guys are in. Well, we had our chance to get in. What are we doing? Get in. Respond. When somebody is sitting in Chuck's by themselves, don't just leave them there talking on their cell phone because you know they're just calling back home to talk to somebody. Go be with them. Don't wait. Because listen, you know what? You see that person over there you really want to get to know? You better go get to know them. Because guess what? Don't stalk them. Just get to know them. Yeah. Because if you don't, somebody else will. And it's an opportunity for us not to look like the us is somebody else, like the establishment is somebody else, the organization is somebody else. You know what's really funny? Sometimes you go to organizations, hey, even Christian organizations, where Christians work, and this is what they say, the organization will not let us. Man, they've been pulling a check there for 20, 30 years. Who's the organization? They are. You're paying tuition to be here? This is your school. You're part of this thing. And don't point at somebody else when something's not right. You are they. We are they. Mordecai says to her, look, if you're not going to do it, Esther, it's all good. You're probably not going to make it out of here anyway, but God will send help and deliverance some other way. In my office hangs a copy of the United States Constitution. I am a proud American. But can I tell you that when the document was written, I was written out of it. People had the opportunity to say that people counted mattered. They chose not to. I hang the document in my office as a reminder to me that good men, great men, can still make bad choices. He says these words. Verse 14. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? My wife was a little girl, and she was at school, and she was in another country far away, but there weren't many people who looked like me. And she was never raised to dislike people who looked like me. But anyway, a little girl came into the classroom who looked like me. And after school, all the kids started picking on that little girl. So my wife said, you know, I'm young too, but maybe I should do something. So she goes over and she starts pushing the kids away. And when she gets close to the fence where the kids are, and this one little girl's on the other side of the fence, this little girl doesn't know that someone who doesn't look like her is trying to help her. So she spits in her face. I said to my wife, what did you do when she spat on you? She said, I wiped it off. I said, have you ever seen that girl again? She says, yeah, and she's doing really good. Maybe someone's going to spit in your face if you try to help them. Maybe you're going to be at risk, like Esther. Don't think you're not at risk now. Let's not kid ourselves. Whether you help or not, you might not make it out, and God will get help some other way to those people, but or to that situation, or to that need, or to that process, to anything that will put a moment where you and I can actually live out our faith so that when we open our mouth and then say, can I tell you about Jesus? Somebody would say, I think I want to hear what you got to say. Sometimes people don't want to hear about Jesus because they're looking at us, and they're saying, man, the way you live, I don't know if I'm ready to be like following you anywhere. We should be able to say, follow me as I follow Christ. Hey, I'm not pointing at you. I'm pointing at you. Me. I'm working on it too. I still, every day, have to ask God, could you help me to die just some more to myself so that you could live? So I love what she does. She listens to his words. She says, go. Get all the Jews together in the area, in Shushan, and fast for me. Fast is to give something up. And in its place, replace it with worship of God during that time. Turn to God during that time. So if you say, hey, I'm fasting my phone. That's not fasting. That's just torture. Pick it up and use it. Stop the shakes. But if I put my phone down, and then in the time that I'd be texting you, I text north, now I'm fasting. Because you know how many seconds we spend, right? What if we fasted that? Food is not that big of a deal, I think. I think it'd be cooler to figure out how do we fast our phone. That's for me, anyway. She says, gather them all together, fast. What she says, her fast was, neither eat nor drink for 3 days or night. My maids and I will fast likewise. I will go to the king, which is against the law. If I perish, I perish. Nothing in life will happen without sacrifice. Nothing in life happens without sacrifice. So Mordecai went his way and did all that Esther commanded him. today we want to do something here. I'm going to ask right now the people that are taking the trip with us to step out of your seat, come out of your seat, and line up along the front. If you're here and you're traveling with us to on our civil rights tour, I need you to step out of your seat. Just stand around the front. Just face the crowd. Come on up out of your seat. Those of you who are traveling, as they come, here's what I want to tell you. They're going to line up here in a moment, and my very good friend, Dr. Jason Lee, is coming, and he's going to pray. You guys spread yourselves out, spread all the way down. This is the first time, by the way, we've all seen each other in one place. So this is good. Go ahead, spread yourself on down. And then what's going to happen is this. Some of you are going to come forward and pray for them. And others of you are going to stay right in your seat, and you're going to go, you know what, I need prayer. So you're just going to stand where you are, and someone's going to pray for you. So Dr. Lee's coming. He's here. He does that all the time. Jedi mind trick thing. But if God's calling you to impact a life, go do it. Just be you for Christ. As you feel the need, you go ahead. You find someone, you pray for them right now. Get up out of your seats, go pray for them. If you need prayer, stay where you are and stand up. If you need prayer, just stay right where you are and stand. Somebody will pray for you. When it gets quiet in here, or when Dr. Lee is ready, when you hear him pray, you know that we're done. I see a couple people standing. If you need prayer, I want you to stand right up. Don't move. You need prayer, don't joke about it. Stand up right now. Stay right where you are. Stand up. Good, good, good. Got a couple people standing. If you see someone standing, move to them and pray. Got a couple people standing right here in the front. Good, good, good. A couple people praying. You just pray for them now, will you?
Dear Lord, we thank you that you hear our prayers. Lord, my prayer right now is for those in the room that stood just out in their seat, Lord, for the variety of needs of the work of your Spirit on them and in them, and that your grace would pour out on them. Many of them may be afraid of situations they're going to face as they travel this week, and they may be thinking about maybe some confrontation that could happen back home or with a friend. And Lord, they're needing the courage that comes from the work of the Spirit in us. Lord, I pray for them. I pray for whatever other things that may be going. Maybe it's a sin battle, a battle against the sin that wants to entangle us and wants to destroy us. But Lord, they need the work of the Spirit. And so, Lord, I pray for them for that. Lord, I also pray for those that are going on this trip. Lord, I ask that your grace would be on them, not only traveling mercy, Lord, but as they go to these places, that you will use us as a time of learning, as a time of opening their eyes and helping them to gain perspective of how you have done hard things through courageous people of the past. Lord, help them to be stirred by the history that they learn of the men and women who were willing to stand against society's evils for the sake of the protection of other people. Lord, help us to see humans as those who have been created in your image, and that we would fight for their lives. Lord, we would fight for their protection. Lord, that we would, these that go on this trip would be stirred, Lord, to become bold and courageous, that they would not love their own safety over the safety and security of someone else. Lord, that they would not be filled with so much self-love that they couldn't put the love for you and your purposes above their own self-preservation. Lord, use this as a time to remind them that whether it's racism or abortion or a variety of other things that are going on in our society right now, lives are destroyed, and that we as Christians have to be bold with the truth. We have to love boldly, and we have to speak boldly. Lord, we thank you for the message from Greg that just encouraged our hearts, Lord, that we would not love our safety and not think of ourselves as safe if we don't say anything, but actually recognize we are at a greater risk. Lord, we might be like those just a few generations ago. that stood by silently, and now they're in a great risk of standing before you in judgment and having to give account for their silence. Lord, let it not be that way for us. Let us not have to stand one day before you and give account for our silence when things around us could be changed by the power of the gospel if we would just simply love and we would simply just speak and act for you. Lord, as these folks travel in some of my very familiar home areas, Lord, I pray that they would, as they walk around and see historic sites, that they would also pray for your work now in among those people. Lord, I pray for you to send revival in Selma, Alabama, and in Montgomery, Alabama, and Birmingham, Alabama, and Memphis, Tennessee. Lord, I pray that you would send revival in Vicksburg, in Atlanta, and all these places that are ripe with lingering sin. And Lord, I pray that you would send revival right here closer to home in Cincinnati and Columbus and Dayton and London and Cedarville and Springfield, Lord, where we also are filled with our own sin, we're filled with our own selfishness, and we would much rather stay comfortable than be gospel agents. Lord, I pray for this group. When they come back, Lord, they'd be changed. They'd be different. But one, because of the places they go and the things that they see, but also their time together, praying together and encouraging each other in the Word. This is the way the church is to be. Lord, we are to see the things around us and to learn our lessons from history and to be encouraged by those things, but then also, Lord, come together around your Word and to pray for one another and to encourage one another in the boldness of the gospel. And that's, Lord, what we have tried to do here today. Put you first. Seek your face. And then walk out of this place different. Lord, we thank you that all of this can be done in your name and for your glory. So we pray in Christ our Savior. Amen and amen. And you are dismissed. Have a great break.